You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up tonight after 7, it's this week's edition of Reveal. You got that new computer or phone you wanted for the holidays, but what happens to your old gadgets? They might not end up where you expect. Environmentalists follow the global trail of America's electronic cast-offs. That's coming up tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
First, repealing the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, has been on the Republican agenda since the law was put into place. Now that Republicans have control of the House, Senate, and executive branch, repeal of the health care law seems likely. Here's President-elect Donald Trump and House Speaker Paul Ryan talking about their plans for the Affordable Care Act.
We are repealing and replacing Obamacare.
Obamacare is failing. It must be replaced. We're going to do that. We're excited about it. And the point I would put people's minds at ease is we can fix these problems. We can fix what was broken in healthcare without breaking what was working in healthcare. And that is exactly what we're proposing.
But a report from the nonpartisan Urban Institute late last year showed the number of uninsured Americans would go up by more than 100% if Congress repeals the Affordable Care Act without immediately replacing it. This report estimated the number of uninsured people in Wisconsin would more than double from about 300,000 now to more than 600,000 if the Affordable Care Act is repealed and not replaced.
Thomas Oliver joins us now to talk about the impact that repealing the health care law could have on Wisconsin. He's a professor of Population Health Sciences at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Tom, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, before we start digging into details, can you lay out what you see as some of the big picture options for what might be coming this year on an Affordable Care Act repeal and possible replacement?
Well, I think there's no doubt that from a political perspective, the Republicans have to pass some legislation that is labeled as repealing the Affordable Care Act. What we actually are going to see is really a complete mystery at this point, though, because some of the law cannot actually be repealed without overcoming a filibuster in the United States Senate. So only things that affect directly the federal budget are allowed to be put through the budget process and pass with a simple majority in the U.S. Senate. So that stops a lot of things from going through right away, anyway, unless Democrats join with Republicans in supporting a repeal. The other thing is there is no replacement. There's been a lot of discussion about that now for 6 years, but there's nothing in the books that suggests what might replace the Affordable Care Act. And finally, from a bigger picture standpoint, the Affordable Care Act is a really huge fix to a lot of problems in the United States healthcare system, and we've seen pretty drastic improvements over the last few years. We have historically low numbers, a proportion of the United States population that is uninsured, about 8.9% earlier this year. We haven't seen under 30 million Americans uninsured since the first Bush administration in the 1980s. We also have seen record slowdowns in spending to the point where people are saving. Every American is now, over these 5 years, estimated to save $8,000 each. That's over $1,600 per year from a slowdown in spending. So those are not visible things that we notice, but the rhetoric that both the healthcare system itself and the Affordable Care Act are broken are really overheated, I think, and it's actually the opposite. There's been a lot of healing compared to where we were in 2007, 2008, 2009. And so, you know, what Republicans who do have control of all three branches of government, what they want to do now is really gets down to more practical issues of what is there to do and how is it going to affect typically millions of people.
One of the big things about the Affordable Care Act was that it was a big thing. There were, as you mentioned, a lot of different pieces and parts to it. We've heard from Donald Trump and some others the idea that, hey, we can maybe keep some of these things people like, keeping kids on their parents' insurance or children on their parents' insurance up to age 26, not allowing people to be excluded because of existing conditions. But can we have that kind of a la carte approach to changing the Affordable Care Act, taking away most of it, leaving in bits and pieces?
You certainly can in the short term. That would be a very popular thing to do. The problem is you're then inviting the younger, healthier people to stay out of the system entirely, and their funds and their low risk means that everybody who does stay insured is going to face much, much higher costs on average. And so you would see an explosion of insurance premiums for older, middle-aged people. And you'll also see an increase in what the costs of Medicare are going to be. And with the Affordable Care Act helped fill in hundreds to thousands of dollars per Medicare beneficiary for people who use a lot of prescription drugs each year. And if you just repealed it, there goes those subsidies as well as the subsidies for the underage 65 population to get access to affordable health care.
Talking to Tom Oliver from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at options of repealing and replacing all or part of the Affordable Care Act. Republicans have had pieces of plans out there that we've heard talked about, at least allowing more competition across state lines is one of them. The idea that this is a better solution by allowing more companies to be in the game in a state like Wisconsin or any other state, that will lead to competition, help drive down the costs of insurance. Do you think that that could help ameliorate, limit some of the losses to insurance coverage if the act is repealed?
Well, what that does is allow really cheap insurance plans that don't actually amount to what most of us think of as real insurance. You would have all the companies based in the state that has the least requirements for coverage and quality, and then they'd be able to sell those really cheap policies across state lines. So we'd be getting Delaware or South Dakota or Montana kinds of plans that wouldn't actually be there for the amount of coverage that we need for expensive days in the hospital, for quality surgeries, for coverage of prescription drugs and so forth. So the idea that competition produces lower costs in the healthcare system is actually completely at odds with international information and data experience in Europe, in Japan, Taiwan, lots of other places.
Let's dig into the impact of the Affordable Care Act here in Wisconsin in particular. When we look at the marketplace and the other features of the act, how big a deal has this been in Wisconsin in particular?
Well, again, I alluded to that earlier and then didn't follow through, so I apologize. But basically, only 4% of all Wisconsin residents are getting their insurance coverage through the Affordable Care Act marketplaces. Remember, the state chose not to set up its own marketplace, so the federal government is operating it for Wisconsin, along with a number of other states. But only 220,000 or so Wisconsin residents get their health insurance through that marketplace. So if you just wiped that away, some of them might be able to go and get coverage elsewhere, but it would likely be more affordable. There's probably a reason that they came to that marketplace. They either didn't have access to any kind of employer-sponsored coverage, or they had access to very bad coverage or poor plans or very high prices in the individual insurance market. So building larger pools of insurance is the way to lower costs for virtually everybody across the board, unless you simply don't have much coverage and you don't need it. But that's taking a big chance, obviously.
So that's 200-some thousand on the marketplace. We mentioned that study from the Urban Institute saying that the number of uninsured people in Wisconsin would more than double from 300,000 to more than 600,000. Where would some of those other people come from if that study is accurate?
Well, there were tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who were required to be added to the Medicaid program and get coverage there. Because formerly, anyone who did not have dependent children in the home was not eligible for Medicaid, even if you had, even if you were unemployed or had very, very low income or were in between jobs or things like that. So there's tens of thousands of folks who were added to Medicaid, and those people would be presumably immediately dropped if we went right back to where we were without a requirement to cover people up to the federal poverty level. There would be other people who are just going to drop out because subsidies, which are pretty generous for people making even $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year in their household, those will disappear if you repeal the Affordable Care Act. And without that, people can't afford $15,000 a year family coverage, which is, you know, the average for a family of four or five people these days. So it's people will not choose to be uninsured, but they will simply not be able to pay those bills along with, you know, their homes and they're putting food on the table and other things. So that's probably where the Urban Institute information comes from, but they're a pretty reliable, pretty nonpartisan source of information.
Talking to Tom Oliver now from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health about how the repeal of the Affordable Care Act could affect Wisconsinites.
And we're taking your calls right now at 800-642-1234. How has the Affordable Care Act affected your life? What would your life be like without that health care law? And what would you like to see in a replacement law? Call in now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're picking up our discussion now about how the repeal of the Affordable Care Act could affect Wisconsinites. Tom Oliver is with us from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health.
We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How would a repeal of the Affordable Care Act affect you? What would you like to see replace it, or do you think the law should stay? Has it changed your health coverage for better or for worse over the last few years? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers now. Scott is with us in Eau Claire. Scott, hi.
Hi, yes. I'd like to make a comment about the negative of the Affordable Care Act. I guess I'm a healthy male, and my insurance from the last 8 years ago till now has doubled in premium. My deductible went from $1,000 to $5,000 deductible for the same exact insurance. And I was wondering how this is supposed to help me in the first place.
And Scott, can I ask, are you insuring yourself? Are you insured through an employer?
I'm insured through an employer through United Health.
Got it. Thanks a lot, Scott. So, Tom, people out there not directly affected by the Affordable Care Act, not using it, but seeing their premiums go up on private insurance and their deductibles go up as well.
Yeah, well, that's a trend that has been going on probably for 15, 20 years where employers maintain coverage, but they shift the burden of cost, especially through very large deductibles, onto their workers. And that is, I think, a very unfortunate development because then it makes it very difficult for people to actually use their coverage unless they have something very, very bad go wrong with them. You can say that gives incentive to not use unnecessary health care, but I think my perspective is that should be something that physicians and employers and insurance companies should negotiate and have good guidelines on, rather than simply dumping it and saying, do some good shopping, especially when you get sick. So Scott is suffering, I think, something that we've seen for a long time for virtually all Americans with employer-sponsored coverage, as that has slipped in terms of the quality of that coverage and the guarantee that it really provides for people without forcing them to spend quite a bit of money out of their own pocket year after year after year. Americans spend huge amounts of money out of pocket for health care even when they have health insurance, and that goes for Medicare beneficiaries as well, by the way.
Scott, thanks a lot for that call, and good luck to you. Is there a fundamental problem that healthcare costs are going up regardless of who pays for them? The actual cost of providing medical coverage has been going up, and if so, are we doing things to try to contain that?
Well, yes and no. The cost of care will inevitably go up in an industry like healthcare. that is both heavily labor-based and heavily technology-based. As new technology comes along in healthcare, it tends to be more expensive than what it's replacing, in part because there's patents and there are pricing opportunities available, as we've heard about with a lot of drugs in the last couple of years, where there were very large price increases. But here's where the solution is to get bigger, not smaller. No, don't have more competition with smaller groups of people all trying to get their best deal, but rather put everybody or as many people as possible into a single pool of insurance so you smooth the risk, and that lowers what people need to pay as a baseline and should allow people to slow out of pocket costs. But back to your core question, no, we've seen a very dramatic slowdown, historically low growth in healthcare spending as a country in the last few years. And that is almost certainly attributable to the efforts of the Affordable Care Act to bring much more quality control and some kind of oversight of price increases in most areas. And so while some individuals, especially those who are part of very small groups getting insurance, small employers, or getting it on their own, could have seen very, very high price increases, by and large, the average increase has gone very, very slowly, and that's what I was saying at the top of the show. We've actually been saving thousands of dollars per person in this country compared to where we would have been without the Affordable Care Act, as estimated by the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, which serves both Republicans and Democrats.
Talking to Tom Oliver, professor of population health sciences at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, talking about the Affordable Care Act, likely to be a target of repeal, likely very soon, and what kind of replacements might be in the works for it, the impact that might have, especially here in Wisconsin. We'll go next to Byron with us in Wausau. Byron, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Byron?
I'm concerned that the restriction on the amount of administrative costs that insurance companies can charge is going to get lost. A number of years ago, I heard a talk from Surgeon General Koop, and he was talking about the fact that insurance companies were spending as much as 35% of everything they took in on premiums for administration. Now, it's down now limited by the Affordable Act to 20%. Even though, interestingly, that's more than any other country in the world spends on administration. And I'm afraid that it'll just turn insurance companies free to give executives very high salaries.
Byron, thanks for the call. Tom, the Affordable Care Act limiting administrative costs that companies can charge, he says.
Yeah, it was. There have been, again, with smaller insurance companies who are operating more in certain markets than others, they do spend a lot on overhead, which is administration. You know, there's a lot of rationing by reviewing whether you need a second opinion or whether you have prior approval, or disapproving payments for certain kinds of care that people got. There are executive salaries, of course, are part of the picture, but they're not a very large part. But the issue is, do we really need a country that relies on for-profit health insurance? Most of our European countries and Japan have dozens of health insurance companies, but they're all nonprofit. They are forced and required to take anyone who wants to buy the coverage, and they negotiate payments across the board, and they have much, much lower overhead, as Byron points out. We're operating about 10-11% overhead as a country. Other countries are at 4-5%. Our Medicare program operates at about 2% overhead. And so, again, privatization per se is not really, a solution to if you want lower costs for most of us over the long run.
As we start to wrap up, Tom, how do you see the current uncertainty over what's going to happen, how the act would be repealed, what might replace it, affecting healthcare coverage now while we're waiting?
Well, I think it's going to be the question of, are there messages coming from the right people? And that means voters who voted for people who are in power right now. If the voters from rural communities realize that money for community health centers, money for the National Health Service Corps that brings doctors, young doctors, to rural communities who would not otherwise be there and would not set up practice in those communities, if they realize that preventive services, which are covered at no out-of-pocket cost on Medicare and in private in, health insurance plans, will now be subjected to co-pays and out-of-pocket expending, those kinds of things. If people realize that, maybe they'll send different messages. But it's really, this has been all about politics, not about good policy, for a long time. And so we've seen the system elect a new president and put majorities into the House and Senate, and the same thing at the state level. And there, you know, they've been running against the Affordable Care Act for a long time. So it would be incredibly surprising to see them not take some steps away from that. What that really means in the long run may not be known for a long time, but I think it's going to depend on messages coming from people who will have immediate and direct problems getting health insurance and how to pay for it if this goes away.
Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
That's Thomas Oliver, professor of population health sciences at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us to talk about how a repeal of the Affordable Care Act could impact Wisconsinites. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.